Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Lots of stuff in the news. One thing, the New York Stock Exchange is not trading. It appears to be a technical glitch, but do we really know what's going on? Not sure. That's a topic that I'm going to save for the second hour when I'm going to be on Leslie Marshall's show, and we're going to chat about whether or not we should fear cybersecurity, because they don't know that's anything wrong, but and maybe there isn't. Maybe it's just some sort of software glitch. But one, what does that tell us about, well, the modern world in which we live and how much we rely on these computers? And I don't know whether the robots are going to rise up and destroy us all. seems kind of far-fetched, but you know. Or whether it could actually be a serious cyber attack, or whether it's just some IT person's going to really lose their job. Anyway, that'll be, well, let's save comments on that till the second hour. There's still a lot going on. In Greece, we have an ultimatum delivered by the European Bank, by the European Union. You got 5 days to come up with a serious plan, or we're throwing you out of the euro. To which I've said, as I said on Monday, Brer Rabbit once said, please don't throw me in the briar patch. Excuse me while I totally mangle that fable. But you know Uncle Remus's fable, right? The idea is, please don't throw me in the briar patch, the rabbit said, because he knew he could get away there. Or was it the tar baby? I don't remember who didn't want to be thrown in the briar patch. But the point is they really did. And Greece should welcome an exit from the euro. Greece needs its own currency. It needs the drachma. It's not going to get a good deal from the Europeans. And frankly, a euro helps Germany a lot more than Greece. If you've got a strong currency, the strong country in there does well because the Greeks, the German products are more competitive, more productive than the Greek products. So Greece brings the value of the euro down by being included in it, which means that Germany can sell its exports much more cheaply. If you leave Greece behind, then, well, that increases the value of the euro, which harms German competitiveness. So they need Greece more than Greece needs Germany. Sure, if Greece goes on the drachma, it's going to be a problem for a while. They're going to have to exchange their euros for drachmas. The people are going to lose a lot of money. But at the end of the day, they won't be able to buy many foreign products. They'll be able to buy their home products. And that, after all, is Greece's problem. No one's buying anything at home. The restaurants are closed. They are only taking cash. The people there don't have jobs. No one wants to pay anyone. Their economy is at a standstill. And if they had their own currency, they could devalue it. They could make it weaker. They could make Greece's exports more palatable. I say, go forth and default, Greece. Go forth and default. And by the way, if Germany wants to get its money back, it needs to lend more money to Greece to do it. Now, this sounds like, well, you're just rewarding, Mark. You're rewarding wasteful behavior. Well, maybe. But at the end of the day, it's not today's Greeks' fault what yesterday's Greeks did. And if I look at what we did with Mexico under Bill Clinton in the 1990s, when Mexico faced a debt problem, we lent them money. Their economy recovered. They paid us back with interest. We made a nice little profit for the American people. And Mexico, it was grateful. That is the way out. And if Europe won't give Greece the way out, then good for Greece for saying no. Because these banks made massive profits on the way in. It's actually very, very similar to what happened in 2008. Very similar. The banks in 2008 and the mortgage companies and particularly the derivatives holders made loans to people they knew couldn't pay back the money. Here, buy a property, $500,000, no money down. You don't have to worry about paying us back for a couple years. Why would they make such a bad deal? Because they weren't going to keep it long. They'd pick it up, They'd slice it. They'd dice it. They'd sell it on Wall Street. They'd lie about it. They'd use all kinds of insurance companies and get all kinds of credit derivatives. Goldman Sachs would bet against their own clients. All very legal. All very wrong. It's kind of like selling someone a nice house, getting six fire insurance policies on it, and then giving a kid a bunch of matches and gasoline and saying, you know, do what you want. When they burn it down, sure, the house burns down, but you get six times the value of the house because you got six fire insurance contracts on it. The banks were doing a similar thing to Greece. They were saying, yeah, we know you can't afford these debts, but go ahead, take them anyway. We make profits. We're the middlemen. And to Europe's credit, they have generally decreased the contagion, as they call it, generally set Greece off on its way. And it's like unlikely to harm the major economy. But you know, people are pretty scared. And meanwhile, the New York Stock Exchange has stopped. By the way, there's still trading going on. You just can't trade on the New York Stock Exchange. But believe it or not, that's not my main topic tonight. I got so much to talk about that I really want to encourage you to say whatever you want to say on any of these topics. The fact that the Confederate flag seems to be going down, that the South Carolina Senate, by an amazing 90-10%, 36-3, voted to take it down. The House is likely to follow suit. That's pretty major, and I think Mississippi is going to join them soon. That's very cool. Some good stuff. The thing I want to talk about mostly, you might argue that this is the salacious topic of the week, but I want to talk about Bill Cosby, and I'm sure you do too. Because, as you probably know, this week, Bill Cosby got his deposition released to the public, a sealed deposition. And in there, he admitted that he got Quaaludes, these drugs that sort of wipe you out or wipe out anyone who takes them or makes them doozy or whatever. They're date rape drugs. And he got them for women that he wanted to have sex with. And he admitted it. He admitted it under oath in a deposition many years ago to a case that I'm sure he settled for a boatload of money. I want to talk about the release of that material because there's a legal angle here. The judge said that Cosby, having set himself up as a public moralist, which he has, and some things he said I have agreed with, you know, talking about how families need to be there for kids and how it's often the parents' fault if the kids are wayward, which is sometimes true and sometimes not. But by setting himself up as a public moralist, his own misdeeds are and should be available to the public. Now, why do I raise this issue? Because as a lawyer, I can tell you that settlements are made all the time that are sealed. In fact, the wrongdoer virtually always wants the record sealed. And usually it's not an individual like Bill Cosby. Usually it's a corporation. Corporation X pollutes the Y River, and the people who get sick and die sue. And they do, after years of effort and years of the corporations denying anything wrong, they finally prove, costing millions of dollars, they prove that the company polluted the water. They show that proof. They threaten to go to court and get punitive damages. And then the corporation settles. You know, pay off a few million, maybe some tens of millions. It's no big deal to the corporation. That's, what, 0.01% of the profits. Pay off a few million bucks to the plaintiffs. And seal the deal. Seal the record shut. That's always part of the deal. Seal the record shut. Don't let the public find out that we were busy polluting everybody and we knew about it and so forth. Yeah, we'll pay you off. It's legal, folks. It's absolutely legal. We'll pay you off. The public won't be protected, but you, the people who sued us, we'll pay you to be quiet. And isn't that what Bill Cosby has done? I mean, all of these women that sued Bill Cosby, and there's apparently more than 25 now. I shouldn't say sued, I should say accused. More than 25 women have accused Bill Cosby. I don't know how many have sued him. That's a lot. You know, they say where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, I realize people are innocent until proven guilty. I get it. In a court of law. You're not innocent until proven guilty in a court of public opinion. In the court of public opinion, you may just be guilty. And please remember the reason why Bill Cosby isn't being criminally charged is because of the statutes of limitations. statutes of limitations are, many of you know this, most of you know this, they're limitations on when you can sue. So if he raped someone in the 1970s, well, that's 40 years ago, too late. And statutes of limitations do often have a good reason for existing. You know, witnesses' memories fade, forensic evidence fades. At some point, it's too late. And then you might ask yourself, well, why did these women take so long? Well, many of them couldn't get an indictment. Remember, you can't bring a criminal indictment against anybody. You can press charges. But pressing charges means that you go to the police, you go to the prosecutors, and you say, I think this person's guilty. And they don't have to do what you say. I can tell you, as someone who pressed for 10 long years to get charges against the guy who killed my sister, it takes effort. You have to push them sometimes. And I'm sure these women tried. And I'm sure they were told there's just not enough evidence. And most of these women in the pre-internet days didn't know that the other women existed. Makes you think you're crazy. Plus, the women can't remember often what happened. They were knocked out. And they woke up to sexual deeds being done against them. So maybe it was a tough case for prosecutors to prosecute. That's why we have civil cases. Civil cases, you don't have to rely on the state. You can bring them yourself. When O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Brown and he got off, he was acquitted of her murder. She sued, her family sued, she was dead. Her family sued for wrongful death, civil wrongful death, and got a verdict that he indeed was liable for her death. And that's not inconsistent in the law, because the law says that to be found guilty of a crime, you have to be proved guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But to be found liable for harming someone, it just has to be more probable than not. So the jury's found that even if you can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, it was more probable than not that O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Brown. So I don't mind saying that he killed her, because that's what a jury found, more likely than not, even if I can't say that he's a murderer, because a jury didn't find that. So when these women sued Bill Cosby, their case was not seen to the end, because Cosby has a fortune, and he's a very, very successful comedian, recording artist, TV star, I'm sure paid them top dollar to be quiet. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they felt vindicated in their own way. They made a lot of money after suffering horrific actions by this man. And there's no certainty in trial. So, you know, someone offers you, I don't know, $20 million, you might take the money rather than risk losing at trial. Some of these sexual assault cases tend out to be he said, she said. And Bill Cosby was indeed a well-loved American figure. It was hard for all of us to believe that such a funny and supposedly gentle man could be such a monster. But the larger question for me is, how many other wrongs are being sealed? How many corporations have their cases sealed? How many times is wrongdoing done and we don't know it's done? And maybe courts should more often unseal these documents. Because sometimes it is in the public interest. It isn't just a question between A and B. If it's one man and one woman that hardly anyone knows, that's one thing. But when this man has a public influence, it matters. And if it's a corporation, maybe the people who use that corporation's products would like to know that the corporation settled for tens of millions of dollars for polluting a river. I think this is valuable stuff. I think that maybe we should limit, or at least allow judges to limit, how much we can seal civil lawsuits that are in the public interest. I'd like to know what you think, though. Give me a call. Let me know. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back right after this. Thank you. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Do you agree with the court decision to release the Cosby deposition? Now, this was a sealed deal. Bill Cosby paid a woman by the name of Andrea Constand an unknown sum of money to dismiss her lawsuit against him for drugging her and then fondling her sexually before she passed out. The lawsuit also alleged there were a number of other people, of other women, who had alleged they'd been sexually assaulted by Bill Cosby. Now, he paid her to be quiet. That's common in the law. Virtually all the settlements that I wrote were sealed. Not all. You know what? Not all. But most settlements are. And particularly when there's corporate wrongdoing, they want to seal the settlement. You can understand why private parties don't want their business and their dispute aired in public. Okay. Bill Cosby's hardly a private party. And people say, well, why didn't these accusers come forth earlier? Although some did. There was Barbara Bowen. I want to get the name right here. One of them I know has been accusing him for 30 years. I want to get these names right here. The point is that you got to understand something about Hollywood. You got to know how Hollywood works. In Hollywood, you've got a few people who are extremely powerful deciding the fate of a lot of people who really aren't. And Bill Cosby is one of the most powerful people in Hollywood. Think about what it's like to be a struggling actress. It is Barbara Bowman. You can't achieve anything without having some big director, some big star, someone help you. Aspiring actresses and actors in Los Angeles, they're a dime a dozen. Easy come, easy go. Coming from wherever in the country, trying to make it in a 1 in 1,000 shot. He had all the power. These women had none. And who would have believed them anyway? When Barbara Bowman said she was sued, she was raped, excuse me, no one believed her at all. So these women didn't go to the police. Should they have? Of course they should have. Not that necessarily anyone would have done anything, and it was a different time then. But this deposition tells us a lot. No, he may never be convicted in the law, although apparently there is a sexual assault investigation that's being set up by the LAPD. But he'll be convicted in the court of public opinion. And I'm fine with that. I won't listen to Cosby Records anymore. I don't think many people will attend his shows anymore. His career is done, and it should be done. And that's the only thing we can do as a society to punish the man. Well, let's do that. What do you think? Am I being too harsh? Give me a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And should we force corporations who do wrongdoing to release their settlements too? Let me know after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I think Bill Cosby's career is over, and I think it should be over. And I wonder, there's lots of legal issues raised in this case. One has to do with the statute of limitations, particularly when it comes to sexual assault. Many of you have heard my shows, very powerful shows, about the young women who were abused in boot camps, so-called treatment centers, sent by their parents to get off drugs or just because they talked back or because they wanted to hide their own sexual violence, and were brutally mistreated there. And many of those women have had trouble getting relief for their rapes, sexual assaults, because statute of limitations are there. And so you have to ask, first of all, why these women waited so long. And I was looking at the article by Barbara Bowman, and I'm sorry for forgetting her name for the moment. I thought it was Barbara Bowman, but I wasn't sure, and I wanted to be exactly right before I said it on air. She wrote an article not long ago, just last November, in the Washington Post, where I think she does a good job in explaining why she didn't go to the police. She writes that when Andrea Constand filed her lawsuit against Bill Cosby for sexual assault, she was ready to testify, but they settled in court for an undisclosed amount of money. I did, by the way, look at reports from that time, and there's an Associated Press report where it says quite clearly that Andrea Constand was, that when she alleged that Cosby raped her, he was cleared of criminal charges. So she must have gone to the police. He was cleared. She filed a civil lawsuit, and that's how we got this deposition that we have today. And this is an article back from March 2005. And Cosby goes on and says, interesting, because if there's a settlement agreement where you're supposed to be sealed, why is he still talking about it? He said, you know, things I do could have been misinterpreted, and people exploit celebrities all the time, and I don't want anyone to exploit me because I'm a celebrity. And sometimes you try to help people, he said, quote, and it backfires on you, and then they try to take advantage of you. In hindsight, those words have an ominous tone. But at the time, I'm sure people thought, well, we all know how it is when you're famous. All kinds of crazies come out of the woodwork to challenge you. Well, Barbara Bowman, after she was drugged and sexually assaulted, she wrote that she struggled to get people to take her story seriously. She writes, and this is real important for understanding the situation of her and of other women in these compromised positions. She was a 17-year-old aspiring actress in 1985. That Cosby brainwashed her into viewing him as a father figure and then assaulted her multiple times. In one case, she blacked out, and after having dinner and a glass of wine in his home in New York City, where he'd offered to mentor her and discuss the entertainment industry, when she came to, she was in her panties and a man's t-shirt. Cosby was looming over her. She said as a teenager, she tried to convince herself she imagined it. She even tried to rationalize, she writes, that Bill Cosby was going to make her a star, and this was part of the deal. Kind of what you do. There are actresses who sleep their way to the top. This is me talking, not her. But she goes on to say that her final incident was in Atlantic City. She insisted on staying in a separate bedroom in Cosby's hotel suite, but he came in, pinned her down as she screamed for help. Screamed for help. And she'll never forget the clinking of his belt buckle as he struggled to pull his pants off. She furiously tried to wrestle from his grasp, she writes, until he eventually gave up, angrily called her a baby, and sent her home to Denver. She writes that back then the incident was so horrifying she had trouble admitting it to herself, let alone to others. I want you to think about that. How hard it must be for women who've been raped to admit it to themselves, let alone to others. But she told her agent, who did nothing, you know, Cosby would give the agent a lot of business. Interview people for the Cosby Show. She went to a lawyer. But get this, the lawyer accused Barbara Bowman of making the story up. Yikes. Well, you know, after being turned down by the people, the powerful people she trusted, an agent and a lawyer, she was convinced no one would listen to her. She told some of her friends. They were helpless to do anything. She writes, I was a teenager from Denver acting in McDonald's commercials. He was Bill Cosby. Consummate American dad, Cliff Huxtable, and the Jell-O spokesman. She said she had to move on with her life and her career. But she has been telling her story for 10 years. And she has been telling it since 06. And she was upset that only when a man, a comedian by the name of Hannibal Buress, not even a very famous comedian, brought it up in an act, that's how the story came to light. Here's the point. There are lots of points here. Lots of people do what they can to protect famous people. They do. She writes, The entertainment world is rife with famous men who use their power to victimize and then silence young women who look up to them. Even when the victims speak out, the industry and the public turn blind eyes. These men's celebrity, careers, and public adulation continue to thrive. When she was a teenager, Cosby's assistants brought her to hotels and events. When she blacked out at his home, there were several staffers with her. Her agent, the one who wouldn't do anything, made her take a pregnancy test. She writes, talent agents, hotel staff, personal assistants, and others knowingly made arrangements for Cosby's criminal acts or at least overlooked them. She, unlike Andrea Constant, never sued. She never received any money from Bill Cosby. She hasn't asked for it. She writes she has nothing to gain by continuing to speak out that it's too late because of the statute of limitations for her to get him for the crime. She writes that famous and wealthy perpetrators use their power to shame and silence victims, and often takes years for young women to overcome these feelings and gain the confidence to move forward. Powerful stuff. Now let me ask you this. If a big corporation is messing with you, if a big corporation has lawyers and can hire them for millions of dollars because they polluted your river or because they didn't pay you the minimum wage or because they broke any number of laws, think how helpless and hard it is for someone to sue them. And when they finally succeed, think how important it is that the public know about it. But these settlements are usually sealed. And ask yourself if corporations, like Bill Cosby, need to be exposed when they do something wrong and nobody knows about it. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt County on line 5. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Really great, Mark. And yourself?
I'm good.
I'm in a spot to provide you a little bit of an inside scoop on two of your topics today.
Okay, go for it.
One thing we both know, Ed Snowden has warned us of how much the powers in the establishment can misuse and abuse their Patriot Act powers to invade our internets and our computers and our phones and everything. And I know that to be a fact, that if you are one who exposes government fraud and corruption, you can expect that you're not going to be alone on your computer.
Are you blaming the New York Stock Exchange on that, or is I'm just trying to get...
I believe that our economy can be held together by their abilities to invade, and they can flip whatever data they need to on polls and on... It's their business to go in and to make the thing work
to their advantage wherever they can. Make it close to my topic, please. Cosby or settlements or...
Now, let me say on Bill Cosby, I used to go there up in Nevada when he would be there performing as a comedian. And I observed something firsthand there, too. There is a group they call themselves groupies that... are young, sexually attractive females mostly, but also males. Their hope is to be able to seduce some big celebrity and then find something in it for them. I'm not saying this is true in all cases, but I do know that whenever Bill Cosby had a break, there was at least one of them right there to let him know, hey, here I am, I'm available.
Yeah, I mean, listen, band members often find that, right? I mean, if you're the Beatles, I don't know how many women threw themselves at the Beatles.
Oh, of course.
That's voluntary, and that's why I think Cosby's accusers had so much of a hard time being believed, because of the phenomenon that you talk about, that we all know to be true. People would be like, well, why wouldn't you want to have sex with someone so famous and so important? And that's another reason why none of these women went to the police. And it just shows the danger of us sort of bowing to the god of celebrity.
For one thing, it's nothing to a Dick Gregory to dump a few hundred dollars on somebody who provides him an hour of happiness. It was happening regularly. And we saw it in a big way with a president of the United States who had a moniker that got a job where she could be there to flash him and let him know she was available, and he too was an active breeder who thought, okay, let's slip out into the closet.
That's true. Although, and I don't want to defend it too much, but in Bill Clinton's defense, Monica at least never claimed that any actions were non-consensual, and there's certainly no allegations that he drugged anybody. Now there is, there are others that have accused Bill Clinton, obviously, of a lot worse. I think Catherine Willey comes to mind. But as far as I know, that's the only person who's accused him of anything non-consensual. So, you know, and that matters, because obviously if people want to have sex, you know, yeah, far be it for me to stop any people who want to have sex from having sex. It's the non-consensual. And I think what makes it particularly sordid and dangerous and scary with Bill Cosby is the use of the drugs, because people understand that there's clearly no consent when you've been drugged.
Right. Yeah. So I guess there's two sides to it. I do know that there are those who were there to let him know they were available. So he might have got the idea that, well, maybe that's the way they all are.
Well, again, really if they was truly consensual, why would he need the drugs? Right. I mean, that really makes it hard to understand why you would ever drug someone with consensual sex. And, he's admitted now, at least he admitted in the deposition, that he got the Quaaludes, which we all know or should know basically knock you out, that he got them, you know, to have sex with the girls. Now, you know, there's a fine line, right? It's not – people sometimes try to get a girl drunk to guys do that. But you know what? That's terrible as well. You know, you try to get a girl drunk to take advantage of her, and we've heard stories of rapes that take place with the – you know, a fraternity or someone that gets women drunk. So anytime you have to drug someone to have sex with you, that's not a good sign.
Well, I think he thought of it more as an enhanced the experience type of drug, but maybe not.
Well, read these stories. I mean, I think at this point there were many who defended Cosby prior to these new revelations. Many of them have turned against him now too, and I think for good reason.
Well, I'm inclined to think there's two sides to it, and maybe both of them are true.
You know, his lawyers aren't commenting. To me, that's a sign. I have no problem convicting him in the court of public opinion, precisely because the statute of limitations is gone, and he could speak out if he wants to. But at this point, I think he's probably smarter staying silent, because better to be thought guilty than to open your mouth and be proven it. So.
Yeah, and yet you also know that there are any number of groupies following him around, hoping that they could seduce him and hop in. And
you know what?
Make a few
I don't think that's true anymore. I'm sure that was true years ago. I think he's not. My guess is, I predict, that Bill Cosby will never perform in public again. That's my prediction. We'll see if it comes true. I don't think he can sell out, and I don't think promoters – I think the danger of promoters hosting him would be too hard on the promoters. I think they'd lose a lot of business.
Too bad.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks for calling in. Always appreciate when you do. Folks, if you want to join in this discussion, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. No one has particularly jumped in on my idea that corporations should also have some of their settlements – released. Want to know what you think about that? 888-488-MARK. Be right back after this. The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Surprisingly, not a lot of people are calling in about Bill Cosby. You still can if you want. You got 5 minutes left. 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. You know, it's hard to take down an icon. It's hard when an artist whom you respect for their art turns out to be, well, a bad person. It's kind of a disconnect. If you laughed at his jokes, are you somehow complicit? No. But, well, it hurts. You know, some of the things that we still listen to, The Wedding March, da-da-da-da, that was written by Wagner, who was a pretty horrific Jew hater, used by the Nazis, in fact, for his writings against Jews. We've got Woody Allen, who I love his movies. I think his movies are fantastic. Some of the stuff he does in the bedroom outside, it's gross. I don't know. I don't know what to think. I still think he's a very talented artist. Dave from Humboldt County just brought up Bill Clinton. I love Bill Clinton. I think he's one of the greatest politicians ever. I think what he did offends a lot of people. Now, again, nothing that we can know that's non-consensual. This is much worse. This is much worse. And, you know, Bill Cosby did a lot for Black America. Mark Romaldi is pointing this out. I should give him credit for saying this right before the break. But that he, with the Huxtable family, with a story of, you know, a doctor and a lawyer in mainstream upper middle class Black America, showed a different kind of Black America from the what's happening or the all the stories about Blacks in the slums. And yet, the truth matters, and it should be talked about. Let's go to Andrea in Palm Springs. Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Oh, yes, very well, thank you. My response or take on this is it's so particularly galling that Bill Cosby put himself out there as a paragon of fatherhood and family values and would denigrate young Black men for being irresponsible. And so not just with this recent revelation, but also, I mean, it seemed like he had a separate child from, I mean, sometimes I think the people that are out there putting themselves on a soapbox and moralizing, often they're, it's really saying a lot more about themselves than about their targets.
It's interesting that the judge cited his role as a, quote, public moralist for releasing the documents. Because generally you don't release sealed settlement documents. But they said that he basically had opened the door himself by declaring himself a, quote, public moralist, unquote. So the judge apparently agreed with you, Andrea.
I didn't know that was the reasoning because, this is a very unusual circumstance to do that, I think.
And, it is. And these things normally are sealed.
I don't know if it would be... Yeah. With regard to other corporate sealed records, if they are methodically covering up defect in cars and that sort of thing, that it's not some kind of isolated case, then I think there's something seriously wrong with keeping the public ignorant about
those issues. I agree with you. I think the public has a right to know. And even if it was a one-time incident. Okay, even if the problem with the part has been fixed, but the company for years denied it, for years risked people's lives, it tells you something about the company. It tells you, okay, well, they fixed that faulty screw, but we can't trust this company that lied to us all these times. I remember when the tobacco companies used to deny that cigarettes were harmful to your health.
Of course.
And it was exposed, all these records, that they knew it all along.
You know, the American public is very forgiving, and if you own the behavior or the mistake or the action, America wants to move on. And I think the PR advisors or whatever sometimes very poorly serve their clients when they just stonewall.
Maybe so.
We
got to go, Andrea. I'm sorry. The time's up. Wish you'd called a little bit earlier into the show. This is Mark Levine. I'll be on here same time, place tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk.
And And we are back. I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back only to Democracy in Talk Radio. My co-host and partner in crime for at least the second half of this hour, every hump day here on the Only True Democracy in Talk Radio, is Mark Levine. He's a former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees. He's also a talk show host. He does the first hour, his own hour, in addition to the hour that he spends with me every Wednesday, first hour. And we're going to be talking to him in just a second. But I want to tell you folks about something that I'm extremely excited about, and you should be too. Now, you may have heard about and me talking about Superbeats for a while. Well, I, Leslie Marshall, have been talking about Superbeats, the circulation superfood that I drink every day, because I like it. And already I'm hearing from people on Twitter that saying, you know, there are people asking me, do you really like beets? Do you really like Superbeets? And I say, yes, I would not put my name on and I would not put a product on my show that I did not try myself or believe in. I'm not going to put my name on something. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm an honest person and I want to be honest with you. And, there are people that are ordering the product. One guy said that, he ordered it, rush, and he said he's already an addict. He said it was true that for him, his name is Michael, he's from Texas, and it said it gave him the energy and the alertness that he needed. He's thankful. And then there are others that on Twitter are saying it works, I feel better, there are people emailing me, and these are all the great things that you can experience for yourself. Superbeets made a difference for me. It's time for you to try it first for yourself so it can make a difference for you. And your first canister that you try is absolutely free. Now, Superbeets is loaded with vegetable dietary nitrates, and that boosts nitric oxide levels in your body. And what that does is increases your energy and stamina, and it does it all without stimulants. You don't need to stop by Starbucks. Dietary nitrates are incredible because they support healthy blood pressure as well. So if you order now, you can get a bonus 30-day supply free with your first order, and you can get the book Beat the Odds. Free and more free? Yep, free shipping. It's guaranteed or your money back. Superbeets works. I feel confident offering this to you because I take it every day. Superbeets works for me. It's my new favorite product. I hope it'll be yours as well. I can feel the energy it gives me within 20 minutes of taking it in my protein shake. You can mix it with water as well. I told you before. I want you to feel it too. So go to your phone right now and call 1-800-305-6011 or go to LeslieLovesBeets.com. Get it now. That's 1-800-305-6011 or go to LeslieLovesBeats.com, LeslieLovesBeats.com, or 800-305-6011. Of course, that is a toll-free call. As I said, we're talking with Mark Levine, my co-host and partner in crime from every Wednesday here. And, Mark, good to have you joining us live from our nation's capital on the east while I'm here in L.A. on the west. But, Mark, in addition to former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Barney Frank and the House Judiciary, Homeland Security, and Financial Services Committees, in addition to your program, The Inside Scoop, Mark Levine's The Inside Scoop, and the first hour of this 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern block Monday through Friday nationally, and I'm not going to announce yet, but, Mark, I don't know. I'm going to have to email you. We have a new affiliate coming on board. I'm very excited
I've
about.
I've heard rumors, but I don't.
Well,
know
if you've heard rumors, yet. I've got a bitch slap Mark and Andrew because they're supposed to let me, the boss, tell people things.
They
sometimes get a little micromanaging,
yet, so.
Controlling, and I've got to get the whip out. But I want you to give your also new title in addition to talk host and former legislative counsel to Democratic Congressman Rodney Frank. Blah 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 blah.
I'm going to have to repeat all that. You know, I'm going to have to give you a new liner for me because I'm going to be, I should say, soon to be delegate from Virginia and the Senate serving the State House. That should be my new tagline, so I'll get you a new one.
Oh, good.
Less of a mouthful.
very, very true. So let's talk about the New York Stock Exchange today. You know, I was just talking with Gretchen Carlson, and we had technical problems, and I started thinking, and I swear to God, this week, and Mark can attest to this, I've had some phone meetings this week. I have Verizon, and my phone never goes out. I'm not doing any plug. They don't pay to advertise, although they should. And I have to tell you, my phone has been going out every day. This morning when I was on Fox, everybody in the makeup room was complaining to add Verizon about their phone going out. It's just I want to, you know, get that, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do Twilight Zone music because it just seems all weird. I mean, we had technical issues on the radio show, of course, you know, that happens from time to time. United Airlines, the New York Stock Exchange,
Washington
and
Journal.
The White House says – don't freak out. This is not any kind of cyber terrorism. Come on, Mark. Isn't this, aren't these too many things going wrong to just be coincidence?
I don't know. I hope they're right. But I'm nervous. Listen, cyber terrorism is the new warfare. And it's something that we have to be prepared for. It's something where they can really attack us where it hurts, because we depend on our computers for everything these days. And, you know, imagine air traffic controllers if their system went out. There's a lot of power in computers, and I assume they have some backup. I don't want to give anyone any ideas. But, you know, it's really the easiest way to attack us. I mean, no one's going to invade our country. I don't think that's coming anytime soon. But cyber terrorism is actually probably the easiest way where we're most vulnerable. Again, I don't know. I believe the administration when they say that that isn't what happened at New York Stock Exchange. But even that is interesting, because think of just glitches. It's not just an attack from a terrorist. It could be your software update that, you know, that ruins your
right.
money or erases
well,
all your data.
What scared me is it wasn't just the New York Stock Exchange, also United Airlines. And then I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. There's a lot of things computerized on the plane in the air traffic control tower. You know, there's a difference between, okay, you know, they screw up what gate you're at, or I say they, hacker, you know, ghost people or whatever. But, you know, there's a difference between you think your flight has already, you know, landed that you're picking up, or what gate, you know, screwing up the numbers. That could cause, you know, great chaos and cause people money. But what about mechanisms that are controlled by computers that the pilots use to take off and to land safely? What about mechanisms air traffic controller uses? So that well, air traffic control will not be United, but, you know, so that got me a bit scared with United, and also who would have access to where you or I may be traveling to and on what
yeah.
flight.
It's really scary how much computers control our lives. And, you know, and there's all kinds of science fiction flicks about the robots who learn how to take over humanity. I mean, I can think of a number of them that do that. And some, actually, cyber analysts say that that's possible, that, you know, computers getting – I mean, they're teaching them to be more and more clever. Now, that's probably not going to happen in the next decade, but in 2 decades, in 3 decades. I don't want to scare people. I've never been a conspiracy theorist. I don't know that any of this is true, so I want to I want to be very quick to say that these are just fears. There's no proven reality. But we already know that countries are using cyber attacks to disable other countries' weapon systems, and that may be a good thing, but, you know, I look at, like, the nuclear bomb. So we used it first, and we probably hastened the end of World War II, so you could argue that we did it for good, although Hiroshima and Nagasaki, people are going to argue about that for forever. But then our enemies get it, and it's like, ooh, maybe it's not so good now. I hope we're prepared. I just hope we're prepared.
I do, too, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist either. However, it's stuff like this that can start making you saying, you know? I mean, you know, could it be? Because if you think about it, people could divert funds with, the stock market. But let's be clear. And the trading everywhere, right across the ball, and all symbols was halted on the NYSE today on the floor. They said it was an apparent technical issue. They even tweeted that it did not suspect a cyber attack. And White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said, quote, there is no indication that there are malicious actors involved. And they said the White House is monitoring the situation. Trading stopped around 11:30 this morning Eastern. The exchange attributed the halt to, quote, an internal technical issue. If that were alone, I wouldn't be as, questioning. It's because of United, and then there was yet another company. There were three of them today that had technical glitches, correct? Mark,
I know that Wall Street Journal had its own glitches.
Right, that's what it is. Wall Street Journal, okay, so media, stock exchange, money, United Airlines, and airline. Okay? I know things could come in threes, but three on the same day, all with...
Well, I thought that maybe the Wall Street Journal went down because so many people went to it to find out why the New York Stock Exchange was down, and maybe they crashed their servers. I'm trying to make some logical reasoning out of this.
I don't know. How many people would go to Wall Street Journal for the stock stuff? Forgive my ignorance. Wouldn't that be more like Bloomberg?
Well, Wall Street Journal is still the premier financial newspaper in the country, and, you know, you would probably go to either CNBC as the premier... news network, and or go to Financial News Network, or you'd go to Wall Street Journal. We should say that the trading did continue on the NASDAQ and the Amex and other stock exchanges. So it was just the New York Stock Exchange that was down, not all of them. But I think part of this tells us is, even if it wasn't a cyber attack, how much we rely on computers in our daily life. I mean, they're now talking about those Google cars that drive themselves. What if the car starts running amok and you're in the car and it's driving itself? I mean, I assume there's an override switch, but maybe I'm a bit of a Luddite, but it is a little scary to think how much power these computers have over us.
Oh, no, most definitely. Most definitely. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and chat more about the smart. Quick break. We're back to my buddy and co-host, Mark Levine. Check out his website, marklevinetalk.com. Follow him on Twitter, @MarkLevineTalk. You can also tweet us, @LeslieMarshall, and we'll incorporate your tweets. We have one more segment left. If you have a question or comment, call us now, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And, of course, like I said, follow me on Twitter, @LeslieMarshall. Follow Mark, @MarkLevineTalk. Quick break back after this.
Leslie Marshall, real people, real life, real talk. Give her a call now at 888-6-LESLIE.
I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. He is my co-host and partner in crime every Wednesday, and he is Mark Levine in our nation's capital. Follow him on Twitter, @MarkLevineTalk, and follow me, @LeslieMarshall. If you want to join us, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543 is the number. Let's go to some calls. Mark, sound good to take a call
sure.
or two before we chat? Let's go to a buddy that likes to call when you're on, and we love having him, and that's Dave in Humboldt County, California, on line two. Hey, Dave, good afternoon.
Well, great, and I listen to both of you every day, and so I get tempted to call in probably too frequently, but I find your show is very interesting, and you're again on a topic that particularly concerns me. I do know that you both and all radio talk show people don't want to get anywhere identified with conspiracy theorists, and I also know that we have in place government officials that do conspire to keep us disinformed, for one thing. And I'm wanting to remind Mark, it's probably 10 years ago, he used to be a regular on his own chat, and we had some people in there that kind of flaunted who they were. One was very obvious. He was very angry and threatening and abusive, and right out front was letting us know that he was coming from that place. And Mark then had the skills where he chatter back to where his ISP came from. And you recall where you had to track one or two of them, Mark? They were right in the damn FBI, NSA field. They didn't even take the time to change and come up with a little Hotmail address. They just right there on your own chat, making threats to us. One of them told me on the chat that I was going to die a horrible death at his hand. Do you recall
those
days?
Well, I had somebody tell me yesterday after being on the O'Reilly Factor that I needed to be raped and pillaged, and I reported it to Twitter, and they closed or froze his account at least. Mark, Dave mentioned this. Do you recall what he's talking about? Is Mark with us?
Uh-oh.
I had a fear when I heard that sound, and we were moving things around while we're on the air that was going to happen. Anyway, we will, I guess, get Mark back. We're just having one of those lovely days where everything in the universe is technically a problem. New York Stock Exchange had computer glitches today. United Airlines had computer glitches today. The Wall Street Journal had computer glitches today. And the White House has assured us that this is not, as far as they know at this point in time, any type of cyber terrorism or hacking. They just happen to be one, two, three coincidences. Hey, by the way, Dave, are you somewhat of a conspiracy theorist? And whether you are or not, do you buy what the White House is telling us, or do you think that there is something going on and they're not showing, they're not being completely transparent and truthful to the American people?
Well, let me say you're hearing from me a totally opposite view of the White House. And may I say, do be suspicious, Leslie. You look at these and you want to think, well, just a glitch, a malfunction. This couldn't be. No, Ed Snowden has made it pretty clear to us that Patriot powers are being abused like crazy. They invade wherever they want, and they have the ability to go in and, of all things, flip votes. They have the ability to flip polls, to where we look at a poll and it says what they want us to see. Yes, I am telling you, I believe we are conspired against big time, and that doesn't embarrass me to say it. Yes, it's more than a theory. I get to live with them firsthand directly. Sounds crazy, but that's reality.
Mark is back. Dave was talking about, you know, threats and harassment and nasty things that people put, and he said that people said nasty things about you and he online. He had referenced that. I referenced how yesterday, after the O'Reilly Factor, somebody said, and not jokingly, they were very serious, that, that you know, they want to get people together to rape and pillage me. And I reported it to Twitter, and that person's account is frozen or closed. But do you remember the incident that Dave is talking about with regard to insults, harassment, things like that online?
Well, I mean, I'm insulted all the time. I suspect you are too, Leslie. I'm sorry Dave's been insulted. He's not a public figure. But I kind of see insults as part of the gig. You put yourself out there as a radio host, and I put myself, frankly, out there as an elected official, and I expect people to insult me. Now, obviously, I prefer, you know, reasonable criticism, where if someone disagrees with me but does so in a nice way, and then I respond to that, but sometimes people are just jerks, and I don't think it's a conspiracy so much as it is some people strongly disagree with me and tell me so. So insults don't really frighten me that much, as long as they're not threatening me personally. I mean, what you described, Leslie, is a lot worse. No one's threatened to, you know, come get me or something. I mean, that would be a very different kind of thing from just calling me names.
Okay. Dave, anything else before we let you go?
Well, I'm asking Mark to, and he's in this daily, to remember back 10, 11 years ago to when he had at least one very abusive.
Yeah, there was one guy. No, Dave, you're right. I remember. It may have been 8 or 9 years ago. There was one person who was getting so difficult and threatening so much that I actually banned him from my website. He may be the only person I've ever banned in 13 years of radio. So Dave is right about that. That was one particular guy who went over the line. But I haven't really had anything since.
Mark, you don't have to say what he said, but what did he do that went over the line? Was it something racist? Was it foul language?
Well, it was all of that. I don't remember whether it was anti-gay or anti-Semitic or some combination of the two, but it was more than that. It was threatening, and it got personal in a way that I don't think it should do. If you disagree with the talk show host, folks, call in, let me know, tell me why you disagree. But
we're not daycare center workers, we're not babysitters, and we're all human beings. I mean,
exactly.
I don't understand the people that are so nasty yet they're following us. That I've never understood. It's like, I hate you, all liberals should die, and it's like, why the hell are you following me?
You got a point. Listen, you go on Fox, I go on Fox. I just got back from the Western Conservative Summit where I debated in front of 5,000 conservatives, and most of them treated me very well. We can disagree agreeably, and I really hope more Americans will do that.
I hear you entirely. So, if you had to bet, Mark, and Dave, thank you for your call. If you had to bet, Mark, would you say that we're going to find out after the fact that, hey, these three incidences weren't just a coincidence? It's just, if it were just one, like I said, my problem is the number. There's three. It's almost like with Cosby. One woman says, hey, he raped me. You know, a few others come forward. Not that I didn't believe the first one, but to me, that's a home run. You know what I mean? You're a lawyer.
Well, there were more than 25 against Cosby. If we have more than 25 cyber attacks, yeah, I'm totally going to believe it. I'm not convinced yet. I think it's too few. Glitches do happen in our modern universe. I don't think the administration is lying to us. But no, if we start, if we have one tomorrow, and then we have one the next day, and there's 5, 6, 7, 8, yeah, that, I could change my mind. You bet.
Well, you know, I love you, buddy. Thank you for being on and for giving a little room for that other interview earlier. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday with me, but everybody here can hear you, our 3 to 4 p.m. on the Leslie Marshall Channel, the Mark Levine Inside Scoop radio show. I'm Leslie Marshall. A quick break, top of the hour news, and we'll be back with more